Coming to faith in Christ does not mean that there is not a struggle in the life of believers. And this morning we read from a passage that describes something of that struggle as the Apostle Paul experienced it and describes it in Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. XXX Church began a ministry to the pornography industry a number of years ago, and a few years ago J.R. Mann was called by God to be involved in that ministry, and we welcome him this morning. Please join me in welcoming J.R.
What's happening? Is it cool if I talk about porn for about 20 minutes? Sure! Woo! Can everybody in the iPod section hear me all right? Sweet! If you find something good, let me know. I'll come up and listen to. XXX Church, XXXChurch.com, largest anti-porn ministry in the universe. Because we're pretty much the only one. We call ourselves the number one Christian porn site. Oh, I get it. That's cool. It's kind of weird, but it's cool. You won't find any porn on the site. You'll find a lot of frank discussion about porn, looking at porn. You might find some conversation about masturbation. God forbid the church talk about that. You'll find a bunch of conversation on there. I urge all of you today to hit XXXChurch.com. Here's the deal. Everybody in this room is dealing with pornography in one way or another. Either you are dealing with it or you know somebody who is. XXXChurch.com, you know, we cut our teeth simply by having conversations with people and realizing that porn is absolutely massively out of control in this country. A $57 billion a year industry worldwide. Billion with a B. Figure that one out real quick. $12 billion of that is in this country alone. Ready? That's more money than ABC, NBC, and CBS making profit a year. That's more money than the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball make in one year. That's a lot of cash. The largest users of internet porn, 12 to 17-year-olds. Yeah, that's right. And that's the reaction I get everywhere I go. 12 to 17-year-olds. The second largest group, you people. Your lovely demographic. And guess what the media is labeling your generation right now? I'm 40, so I'm a little bit older, even though I look good. So don't be saying any old jokes to me later. Your generation right now is being labeled in the media as the porn generation. Does that sit well with y'all? Right? Somebody, oh yeah, dude, that's awesome, man. I can't wait to tell my kids when they grow up, porn generation. That label sucks. And I hope every single one of you walk out of here with a definition in your brain about how that's going to look for you as you move on. Because what I don't want to see happen is you guys graduate with a cool diploma from a great school and a porn problem. Because if you do, and if you haven't now, you're in trouble. And there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I want to show you a video real quick because that's what we do. We show videos. The church is like, we've got the screen. Why not, right? This is a cool video. Please watch this. Can I sit here?
Sure.
Thanks.
under a hotel sign that blinks vacancy. He's thinking maybe he's too late to make the drop off, till a truck coming his way breaks and stops short. And now he's out of sorts, you can see he's sorta nervous, walking through the passenger door to meet his order of services, and someone's sorta working. Blames his conscience when the driver says she's my youngest. Her name is Constance, he comments, and it's only $6 per visit. Just don't leave any marks on her, it hurts business. Thought for a minute and confess that's fair, since it was $3 less than his cab fare. How old are you, honey? She says I'm 13, her nose is running, it's raining in the Philippines. He handed over the money, in a chilling scene the truck drives off, and now he's on the hunt to kill her dreams. The sign reads no vacancy, he leads Constance to a room he is ready for tapacy. He's about to turn 6 into 6,000, and all you gotta do is click on your web browser. It's not illegal to use raping as a cash crop, as long as it says she's 18 on your laptop. The sound of rain is a backdrop, laying there like she's waiting for somebody to say they care. While the tears of God fall down the window pane, she feels unholy like the father doesn't know her name. Mary Magdalene, the woman at the well, he knew everything that happened, and in his arms she fell. He's tempted by the quiet he feels and the mouse he holds. The silence of his spouse is cold, so he's about to help that man get his 6,000 gold. One click and now she's sold, withholding his conscience. Scrolling through the comments, there she is looking confident. A picture of Constance in a series of video clips and dope content. The title blinks in bold letters like a vacancy sign. It's his time to go get her. It's like his mind doesn't know better. Her soul is crying out, let me go, but he won't let her. He got her trapped inside his media player, held captive by his need to be player. It's a matter of he being here and she being there. That's why he doesn't feel the need to care. Guilt is in the seat he bears, spilling his shares of the profit on a $500 million market, where children are regarded as product and traded like stock tips and wait for the sake of a pocket. His laptop sits like a window in the Constance room, where he exits cause it's almost noon. And he's expecting his wife home soon with new clothes for the baby. She'd be angry if he saw his new lady, a 13-year-old Filipino named Constance. Trust me, girl, God has not forgotten. He knew Mary Magdalene and the woman at the well. He knows everything that happens, and in his arms she fell.
So that's reality. That's not some crazy little thing that we all sat together and went, hey man, let's make this cool video. That's real. That's 100% real on what's going on in the porn industry today and the consumers. Because if you watch the video, you get it. There's two sides of the coin. It's 100% real. You got a video camera, you've got kind of a willing participant, you can make porn, shuck it out into the world, and have a good time. And conversely, the people who call up their laptops at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 in the morning, I don't care when you do it, can click a little button and get whatever you want. Two sides of the coin. We have taken porn and we have said it's sex. We have taken porn and said, hey, this is exactly what God intended it to be between a man and a wife. The problem is porn and what God intended sex to be are two different things, and we got to start thinking like that. Because that Constance video and what's going on inside of that is 100% real. That's my day-to-day. My day-to-day, dealing with dudes that are consuming it and dealing with Constances and dealing with the guys that are making it, it's 100% real. And there are, and if it's a $57 billion a year industry, somebody in this room is consuming it. I've never been invited to a porn party. I've been invited to a pot party when I was in college. I didn't go. I wanted to. Been invited to a beer party, a birthday party, a graduation party. I was never invited to a porn problem party. Freudian. Yeah, the iPod people heard that. The reason I have it is because we have heaped up so much guilt and shame on top of the porn problem and what it means. We've done such a great job at saying, man, you know, if you're dealing with that, we don't want nothing to do with you. And consequently, because it's a sin, because sexual immorality is sin, and that's where we're going today. You know, we're reading Romans 7. That's Paul that's talking in Romans 7. And he's saying, I do these things that I don't want to, I don't understand why I'm doing these things. Why am I looking at porn? I don't get it. Sometimes I think Paul was a porn addict. I really do. With what he was dealing with. He was dealing with some issue, big issue. The only thing that could take it away was Christ. That's what he's saying. Porn sets up these crazy, unreal expectations in our life. That's what it does. It tells us what sex should look like, who we should do it with, where we should do it, when we should do it, what it should smell like, what we should wear, what we should not wear. And then when we do eventually bring that together inside of a marriage situation, it ain't the truth, it ain't the reality, it's a 100% lie. All the expectations because of porn, they build up, they build up, they build up, and they kill us when it comes to the reality. Not that the reality is bad. I'm a married guy, the reality's good. It's good. Look forward to it. But that's what porn does. Creates fantasy and unreal expectation in your life, and it will make you do things that you didn't think you wanted to do. We go to these porn shows. We rent 10 by 10 booths. Very simply put, they look like this. Oh, you're quick back there, dude. And those are Bibles, 3,500 Bibles. We physically go into the porn shows, just like a room like this filled with porn. And then there's us. Hi. We love Jesus. Next one. Close-up of the Bibles, in case you needed to see them. They say Jesus loves porn stars on them. Wonderful amount of attraction going on there. People walk by going, dude, what is that? Well, that's a Bible. It ain't got any pictures, does it? No, it's just it's the Word of God. Dude, what'd you do to that Bible, man? Because that's not good, man. Next one. That's Rex the Rabbit, our mascot. We needed a mascot. This mascot belonged to a children's ministry at a church in Southern California, and we kind of stole it. And then we brought it back, and they said, well, what'd you do with it this weekend? Oh, yeah. We took it to the porn show. We really don't want that back, dude. Next one. At the porn show, we meet beautiful people. Two things today. Porn isn't real, and the people that consume and the people that are in the porn industry are real, just like every one of you. Because I know that you're dealing with porn in some other way. Here's a porn star. She's your age. She's in her lower 20s, and she's beautiful. And the more I talk to her, the more I was like, oh, my heart. And she says, I love Jesus. I go to church, JR. I love Jesus so much, so I did this. Next one. I tattooed the cross on my neck. And she's lost right now inside of a crazy little lifestyle that is sin left unchecked. And she's just filling herself up with stuff that it's just not good. Next one. Here's a guy with a bag of porn. At the shows, you walk in and they give you a bag. That guy's 6 feet tall. That's a big bag. You walk around the shows and you fill your bag with all the tchotchkes that the porn world will give you. And our Bible goes inside. Because our Bible, we know, is the only thing that's in that bag that has anything to do with reality. Anything. Next one. This is Mike and Wayne. These are essentially the consumers of porn. They're your age. They're 21, 22, 23, 24, somewhere in there. And these guys vacation at porn shows. That's what they do. Two a year, big shows, L.A. and Vegas. They spend $4,000 each show to fly out from Jersey. Anybody know these guys? I always ask. Not yet. Not yet. I'm glad you don't know them. I mean, they're good guys. They spend $8,000 a year because they go to two shows a year. Here's the most devastating part about this. They tell me very honestly, very, very honestly, that it's better to have a relationship with porn than it is with real women. Never had relationships with girls. No stealing a kiss on a Friday night, no hand-holding, no looking in the eyes. Huh? No poems written out on a late night while you're listening to some Bon Jovi, I don't know. Bon Jovi, I'm like, what? iPod people, you with me? Yeah. Anyways, that's the face of porn. We talked about Romans 7, and let's boil this thing right down real quick in the remaining time that we have. It's sin, man. It's sin. That's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with something that you can... ...that wrote the Bible. When I was growing up, Paul was like, oh,
wow, Paul, man, getting it done for the Lord. And then I read Romans 7, and he's struggling with sin because he himself was born into it, just like me, just like y'all. And y'all, maybe some of you not, but maybe y'all. But you understand what I'm saying? So the first lesson, man, we got to get is we're going to level the playing field on porn and know right now that it's okay to talk about it because we ourselves were born into this craziness, and this is the kind of stuff that we got to live with. Some of us have a propensity toward one sin versus the other. Mine was booze and cussing. I love to cuss, y'all. I'll be driving on the road, someone cutting from me. And I got to keep that in check. And I love booze. When I was an older teenager, I was all about being laid flat out with alcohol every breathing second of the day. Not anymore. There are days, though. There are days. But I live with that. So behind us understanding that that's what we're dealing with, and we got to really stretch it out there and to know that we're sinners, there's the act of confession. And I know everybody in here doesn't like that word because I don't like that word either. When I was growing up, I had this friend who was a Catholic. He used to take me to the Catholic situation. We'd sit in the front row, and I'd be like, I don't even know what's going on here. And they'd stand up and sit down and do stuff, and I had no idea. And then he'd say, hey, on Wednesday, I got to go to confession. I said, you got to go to what? See, I got to go in that booth and talk to that cat about what I did all week. I'm like, what do you mean, did all week? He's like, I tell him everything. I'm like, well, you're gonna tell him about us burning that cat last week? That's like what you do? He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to tell him the whole thing. I'm like, no, dude, you can't do that. Confession for me was getting in trouble. Confession, there was nothing after getting in trouble. It was me getting in trouble. That's what it was. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:13. Everybody's like, it's all right. It's all right. I'll give you the notes later. In 28:13, man, if we don't get our confession out, we're not going to prosper. Simply put, there's no translation in the Aramaic or the Hebrew or the this or the that. If you don't confess your sins, you're not going to prosper. If you don't blast them out to the world or somebody, not the world, because that's another story. If you do, you find mercy, Proverbs goes on to say. If you do, you find mercy. Mercy, man. Freedom inside of that. That's what I'm talking about. So we acknowledge it as a sin. We confess what's going on in our lives. And for me, it looks like craziness all the time. My inboxes are full of people. The same age you are, the same age I am. The same age as everybody is. Oh my gosh, I can struggle with porn. I don't know what to do. And they're confessing to me kind of over email. And I always go back to them, dude, you need accountability after confession. Once you've leveled the playing field on sin and understood that this is going to be a part of us and you want to stop, and we get the act of confession, find a little mercy in our lives, there's accountability one to another. This is where I will go to the Bible. That's my cell phone in case anybody needs that later. Oh, the Bible. Does everybody have a Bible? Everybody's like, dude, leave me alone. I don't have a Bible. I don't need a Bible. You need a... Go to Galatians 6, if you would. And we'll run through this in our remaining time, and then we'll kick everybody to the curb in lieu of porn and pizza. Dude, you're wacko, porn and pizza. We've understood it's a sin. We've leveled the playing field, if you will, and Paul does a great job for that, and I really, really encourage you all to get on the Word of God. I really, really encourage you to put that in your daily walk. And I know, man, you know, seriously, I understand there was a point in my walk where I thought, you know what? Whatever, the Bible. But it's practical application inside the Word of God. There really is, especially if you want to stop something going on in your life that really does need to be controlled, like a porn problem. So I really, really, man, I really encourage everybody to really seek the Word out and understand what that means. And if you're having a hard time with it, grab somebody who does know it. For me, man, I have mentors, man, some guy that really gets it. He's a theological dude, understands Hebrew and all the stuff, and he helps me go through it. It's really money in my life. Galatians 6, brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, so restore him gently. But watch yourself, you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. How cool is that? Growing up, I was a Christian since 1985. Most of you not born in 85? Yeah, man, I am old. I didn't get it. I didn't understand that I could fulfill a law of Christ. I didn't get it. What's your name? Me and Tim, I didn't get that just by us coming together and talking about our problems was going to relinquish me from a life of craziness. Because I was fulfilling the law of Christ because we were sharing each other's burdens. The first part of that says, you who are spiritual, restore them gently. I know guys that go to the porn show that aren't us, that stand outside with big, huge signs that are kind of nestled into their, they have a belt with a cup on it, and it's a big pole, and then there's a banner. One side is with fire on it, like hell, and then it says, you're going to hell. On the other side, there's verses about whoremongers and all kinds of craziness, and then there's a guy that stands next to him with a Bible or with a bullhorn, and a young lady walks by, with one with a tattooed thing on her neck, and he yells, hey, you're a whore! You're going to hell! And I go back to the Bible and I say, dude, did you see that word gently in there? It says gently. G-E. And he looks at me and he says, no, man. And I say, no, man. You who are spiritual, restore them gently. We can't just assume that everybody that's in some state of sin doesn't know Christ. Who assumes that? I used to. I used to do it all the time until I went to a porn show. And realize that 99% of the people there have some type of relationship with God or Christ. And we're caught up and lost inside of a sin. Just like Paul in Romans 7. So that accountability, it's massive and huge. Restore them gently. Share each other's burdens. Here's the bottom line. You're struggling with porn today. You need to get with somebody. Somebody that can hear you. Somebody that you can talk to. Whether it's somebody on staff at this college or a friend in the dorm or somebody back home or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, I don't care who it is. But talk to them today and confess it. Get it out. Find mercy. Stop what's going on inside of you right now. Stop it. Punch it in the face with a little Jesus situation. Because that's the only way it happens. Accountability one to another. You who are spiritual, restore them gently. Share each other's burdens, for you fulfill the law of Christ. This thing goes on, Galatians 6, to talk about the responsibility that we all have one another, because Paul was literally writing to a church, just like y'all. Literally writing to a body of people who are in dire need of accountability. And he says, check yourself as you go. He says, if you think you're something, you're nothing. And this is a real important part of this whole equation. If you think you're something, you're nothing. What he's saying is real simple. Just because you got Jesus in your life and you think you're all big, bad, and cool with your toothy grin and cool Bible and bumper stickers and stuff that we wear and all the cool language that we talk and listen to the Third Day and Bon Jovi and the whole nine yards. See, you didn't think. I always want you to listen to me because I like Bon Jovi. I know, I hate Bon Jovi. I liked him better with his hair long, you know what I'm saying? Me too. Dude, I'm a porn pastor. Stay with me. The bottom line is we're nothing. The bottom line is we all fall short of the glory of God. So name your sin here and check it with somebody today. And don't be afraid to. And if anybody looks at you and says, ooh, look at that dude, walk. Because they're nothing. I'm nothing. I'm a 40-year-old redheaded Irishman from New York. That's what I am. With a propensity to cuss and want to drink heavily and hate. That's me, plain and simple. I fall into the same temptations you do when I'm in the supermarket and a hot mommy walks by. I got to think about it. That's me. I'm a man. But with good sources of accountability, coupled with some good study and some good prayer, it doesn't make me a freak because I do these things. It makes me a strong spiritual man. It makes me a guy that really truly wants to lay myself down for the Lord. That's all. And have a weird haircut. Get accountable today. And if you know somebody who's struggling with this issue, call them out. That's the last part. Call them out. And if they get mad at you, oh well. So what? Check people today. Do it amongst each other. One to another. James, confess your sins one to another. There's a reason that we're called to do this. I believe fervently that this dude called the devil doesn't want us to talk. That's why iPods are so successful. That's why video games are doing so well. And that's why the porn industry is sitting at $57 billion a year. So that's my challenge to y'all today on campus. Talk about the porn problem. Who's got it? Who doesn't get it? But do it to yourselves. No need to have a bullhorn and no need to have a banner. Pray with me real quick. Father God, thank you so very much for this great opportunity. And I just, one simple prayer, Lord, one simple prayer. put the burden on each other, everybody's heart in here to talk about this problem today. Either they got it or they don't got it. Either they're dealing with it or they're not. Give people the responsibility to really throw this thing out into this campus and to keep these conversations going into red flag every time somebody starts talking about it, looking at it, seeing it, or dealing with it. Lord, these are smart young men and women. I get it. Chuck them out into the world, Father, in the name of Christ. Amen. Porn and pizza tonight. Don't forget, what time is it, 7? 8:30. It's 8:30. I'll be there in... Where? Alex's. Y'all know where that is? Sweet. Anything else? One more. Hold on. Take your iPods out.
Thank you so much, JR.